Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of praise and worship of you. We thank you for this time in fellowship come before and is definitely going to come after as we enjoy this delicious food that's been prepared for us. We ask in the meantime, though, that you open the eyes of our hearts, open the ears of our minds to let us see and hear the word that you have prepared for us and how to apply it to our lives as we leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, everybody, welcome. It's great to have you all here, and I hope you brought your appetite. I know I did. The last few weeks, we've been talking about why we need to be grateful for the thorns that are in our side, right? Today, it's not part of that series, but it's going to kind of emphasize a bit, the fact that we need to be thankful for the bad in our lives just as much as we are the good. All right. And to start off, I'm going to share a little story here. There were two men that were walking through a field one day, and there was a bull. The bull got a little agitated seeing him. It started to charge him. The cowboy started running, or running for the fence. This bull's hot, though. It's in hot pursuit. It's tearing down the field. It's catching up to him in record time. And one of the guys, in fear, yells to his buddy, "Hey, say a prayer. Your dad's a preacher. You know how to do this." Guy says, "I've never made a public prayer in my life, but I'll say the one that my dad says all the time at mealtime. Oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful." Today's world, we're very much like the cowboys running from the bulls, aren't we? We truly are. Doesn't matter how plugged into the Lord we think we are. When things get going and things start moving, we tend to forget. Instead of going to the source that we should be first, we're just caught up in what's going on around us, caught up in what we're doing. And it's real easy when things are good. When things are good, we just keep on trucking, right? That we might remember to give thanks, but, "Oh, thank God, yeah, things are good." And other times, it's just good. So we're just going to get wrapped up in it and just keep on going. Usually when it does hit, it's usually like a quick hit and run, though. Kind of like this bull, if it hit the cowboys, but just keep on going, right? When we do get that thing, so like I said, as quick as it is, we're off and running even faster. We're so caught up, we don't take time to stop and actually enjoy that good time, that blessing that's in front of us. You take eating, for example. I love to eat. I really do. It's one of my favorite times of the year because there's food. There's a lot of it. Well, food is also some of my downfall. For those of you who don't know, I went to a military school. Military school, everything is regimented. The way you sit, the way your dishes are laid out, you ask permission the whole bit, and you have a set time once you get permission to eat, and you're scarfing. Yeah, you get to taste it, sure. You don't get to enjoy it the same way, and after a while, this becomes second nature. And then, of course, after that, I went into the Marine Corps. I'm in boot camp. You got all of 15 minutes from the time you hit that door to get your food, get seated, eat your food, and get back out. So you're eating in record time again. And you get used to it. So it's second nature. I can't tell you how many times we sit down and I think I'm slowing myself down. And my wife looks over and says, "Are you enjoying your food? Are you even chewing it?" Right? My mom, I don't know how many times she's done the same thing. It's hard for me. I have to try to force myself. There are a few exceptions in between where I'm able to really slow down and enjoy it. I'll be honest, usually it's when I'm bumping my gums. And after all these years, it's still there. That's some nice thunder. Amen. But, you know, with this said, though, it brings up the old idiom. We all need to stop and take time to smell the roses. We have so much good going on in our lives that regardless of our circumstances, we need to slow down and take it in and enjoy it. Sometimes it's easier said than done. When things are really bad, we need to recognize that there's still something to be thankful for. And again, we need to slow down and be appreciative for it. We need to be grateful. And I can assure you, no matter how bad things are, you can still find something good. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go to verses 23 through 28. So 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. All right, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28, Paul writes, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, and weariness and toil and sleepiness often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches." And here's the thing. Paul, he's talking about being grateful. He's talking about being thankful in all circumstances. You see, when he wrote this, he was really upset because there were a lot of false teachers that were leading people astray. They were deceiving the Corinthians. So when he was writing this, he's reminding them of who he was, where his authority came from, the trials and tribulations that he had to go through as a follower, as a disciple of Christ, right? One of the apostles. And he had to endure a lot. Beatings, imprisonment, humiliation, various dangers along the way, sacrifices galore. He's still having to endure them. He has more on the way. And you look at you just look at this piece of scripture right here. He's running from his own people, right? At times. Other times, he's dealing with the Gentiles who hate him. You know, 40 lashes minus one, because 40 lashes was a death penalty. Minus one to make sure that he still lived, right? So beaten unmercifully. He had more going on for him than most people. And as followers of Christ, we're all going to have trials and tribulations. Hard times await just as much as the good times. And those trials and tribulations are there for good measure, though. They shape us. They build our character. They help us to find how much more we need Jesus in our lives and to lean into him. They prepare us for further service into the kingdom. They give us everything that we need so that we talk to others. We're able to actually talk to them. We're able to empathize with them. I know a lot of people like, ooh, empathy. No, it's important because you need to be able to get to people on their level. If you don't have these experiences, how can you do it? How can you appreciate the good, let alone the bad? So it's a reminder, we don't just go to Jesus when things are hard. We go to him when things are good. We pray and we give thanks. Turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, the word says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And everything, it says right here, give thanks in everything. Everything. The good, the bad. All of it. Why? Because if you don't, you start to become ungrateful. You become grim, sad, depressed. Oh, woe is me, right? You start to see yourself as a victim in the world. Everything is somebody else's fault. Nothing is your fault. The world is out to get you. But let me tell you something. As a believer in Jesus, as a follower of Christ, you're no longer a victim. You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. Plain and simple. And it's no longer about you, but the Holy Spirit who's in you. And that's why you're able to overcome. You adapt, you change. And Paul knew all too well the good times and the bad. And he chose to overcome the stinking thinking. That mindset that a lot of us get caught up in way too often, especially in those hard times. Instead, he kept the mindset of Psalm 18, verse 24. I'm going to go through this one quick. So Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." There's a song out there that uses that. I love that. That's a good reminder when you listen to the radio, right? Yeah, Brian's up here already singing it. But it's a good one. It's the same mindset that we should all learn to have, regardless of our circumstances. Sure, sometimes it's easier than others because there are some things that weigh on us heavily, right? Heavily. But we have to be diligent and we have to put forth our best foot. We have to make that effort. You know, it's one of those things that we like to refer to as find the silver lining, right? And I'll tell you what, finding that light in the darkness can be hard, but it can be done. Sometimes you just have to turn around or look up. And if Paul and Silas can do this after being beaten and imprisoned, remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago, what they do? They sang hymns of joy. They sang to the Lord. And if they can do that in one of the worst circumstances anybody can find themselves in, I'll tell you what, you can do it regardless of the circumstance that you find yourself in today. There is something great there looking you in the eye. You just have to open your eyes and see it. Ukrainian evangelist David Karcha is quoted saying, in a time of peace, the gospel is powerful, but in a time of war, it is unstoppable. Ukraine, an area that's been at war for years now. The church is still going strong. People are still coming to it. They're still coming to Christ. Amen. And they're going out and they're ministering in hospitals and orphanages and families that have been torn apart. Not only that, it's on their home turf, right? Their home soil. So they get to do something that very few churches, especially coming from the West here, get to do. They get to minister to their soldiers in the field. Here you have a believer that's able to meet a warrior out in the field in the trenches and pray with them and speak to them and minister to them and remind them of the hope that's there for them. They're out there finding good in a country that's been torn apart by war. Their world is literally blowing up around them, and they still find the light that is Jesus Christ. Much like with the story we opened with today, they're giving thanks while being chased by that bull. In his book, How to Be Decadent, George Mike wrote, "In Budapest, a man goes to a rabbi and complains, 'Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?' The rabbi answers, 'Take your goat into the room with you.'" Incredulous. Excuse me. The man is incredulous, but the rabbi insists, "Do as I say and come back in a week." A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than before. And he says, "We cannot stand it. The goat is filthy." The rabbi then tells him, "Go home and let the goat out. Come back in a week." A week goes by, the man comes back, and he's radiant, he's smiling, and he's happy. And he tells the pastor, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat in the room. There's only 9 of us." Mindset. The stinking thinking, right? You see, sometimes being thankful is not always about looking for a silver lining. Sometimes it's adjusting your mindset. Being thankful to God isn't about where we are. It's not about what we have. It's a simple fact that He is in our lives. He is a part of our lives. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants a relationship. He has broken the chains of sin and freed us from them and asked very little in return. That's what we have to be thankful for. That is our gratitude above all things. And it's one of those things that we need to remember, especially those times when we're feeling lonely. And this is one of those times of the year that a lot of us feel lonely, right? It really is. The next couple months, I tell you what, ERs get packed. Packed. You know, the discussion about suicide this time of the year, it is statistically backed up, which is unfortunate because people feel disconnected and alone. As believers, though, we don't have to feel that way because God is there. Jesus is walking with us and He's cheering us on every step of the way. Yeah, things are hard. He's like, "You know what? It's okay. You got this. You got this. You got this. You can do it. The finish line's ahead. Just keep going. Keep running the race. If you have to slow down, slow down. If you have to walk, walk. If you have to crawl, crawl. But you got this. You're going to get through. I'm not going to leave you. I'm right here. Just keep chugging along." And it goes all the way back to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. We just read that, right? It's the mindset. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you. Trust Him, and you'll find the good in all situations. Pray constantly. Constantly be praying in everything. Doesn't matter how silly it is, how worthless it may feel. Pray for everything. That's relationship. That's what relationship is supposed to be. That's what the Father wants. He wants us to come to Him with our needs. You know, sometimes I chuckle and I have to remind myself, nope, you pray for everything, because we'll be pulling into a parking lot somewhere. My wife's driving, you know, or even when she's not, even when she's riding, what's the first thing that comes out of her mouth? That's it. You know, thank you for the parking we are about to receive. We are truly grateful. Amen. It sounds silly. And sometimes when you're sitting there, it can sound silly. But it's not. It's okay. It's good. It's actually great. Why? Because that is her relationship with the Lord. And that's what we should all have. It is a great example, which is why I call her out. We forget about those little things. Doesn't matter how big or how small it is, we still need to be praying. And that prayer, that relationship that builds up, that's love. It's an attitude of gratefulness that we should all carry. It's gratitude. Gratitude itself is love. And I'll remind you, love is not just empty, hollow words. It's not just a little card on Valentine's Day or something like that, right? It's action. It's the stuff that we do. What can we do for the Lord? What can we give the Lord? Ourselves, our time, our words, our thoughts, our worries. Share our triumphs with him and thank him for them. The whole bit. You think of Jesus when he was asked, what are the greatest two commandments? What's the first one he led off with? Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Well, it's real easy to remember. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we're talking about the foundation of the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you have done unto yourself. It's biblical. But all too often, we forget about that first part. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. How do we do it? We pray. We go to him in prayer. We do the things he asks of us, even if we don't agree with them. That's conviction right there, because he does know what's good. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong better than anybody. But that's how we have true gratitude, is we celebrate the good and we go to him with the bad. And this is how all of us should be showing gratitude as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week and we go into the Christmas season for the rest of the year. And well beyond 365 days a year or however much time we have on this planet, right? With that said, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being a part of our lives. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We ask that you keep reminding us what gratitude should look like in our lives, what love should be in our lives, that we're able to find ourselves thankful regardless of what's happening in our lives, where we are, what's happening around us or to us, that we find that thankfulness simply because we have you. Guide us in sharing these things and guide us in sharing our blessings with the world as we leave here today. And while we're at it, we just want to go ahead and we want to thank you for this food that we're about to share, this fellowship that we're about to have, and the blessings that you've provided us with. We are truly grateful, and we ask that you use all this to nurture not only our bodies but our souls and our minds. And all as people said, amen and amen. Remember, as you do leave here today, you are loved and you are blessed. So go and be the church. Amen. Yes.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care. And God bless.